Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
75% of sexual abuse survivors didn't know that their counselling notes would be used during court cases. And there's been a lot of talk about the use of counselling notes in recent weeks. It's something we've heard from survivors here in Lunchtime Live in previous weeks as well. A new survey, though, carried out by the charity Beyond Surviving has received over 240 responses within about 24 hours. And they found that many people didn't know or didn't recall giving informed consent for those notes to be accessed and then used in the court's process. Ciara Mangan is the founder and CEO of Beyond Surviving and also a fellow survivor, as is Sarah Grace, who's a board member of Beyond Surviving and also a fellow survivor as well. Thanks a million to you both for joining us here in studio today. You've both shared your stories and your court's experiences with us here on Lunchtime Live previously. Ciara, can you just tell people about Beyond Surviving and what is it?
Yeah. So Beyond Surviving is a survivor-led charity organisation. We were founded in 2023, but we launched in January of 25. And we support survivors of both domestic abuse and sexual violence, particularly in the post-crisis phase of their journey. So it would be after perhaps engaging in the frontline crisis sector services that we all know about, like the rape crisis centres. And our focus is predominantly on long-term sustained healing and just helping survivors to connect with one another.
This was something, obviously, Sarah, that wasn't there, wasn't available to you, to Ciara as well.
Yeah, no, exactly right. So, and as Ciara said, we were talking about it just before the show, we had to kind of navigate our own case on our own. There was no one to talk to. There's no real, you know, when you think about it, there's no role model for this kind of situation. And yet we know.
And no textbook.
No textbook. But we know from the figures, it affects one in three women globally. Sexual violence, that is, not sexual assault. And in Ireland, those figures are much higher. They're one in two. They're actually higher than that. They're 52%. So look to your right, look to your left. One in two women have gone through and experienced sexual violence. Now, you know, obviously not all of those make it to court because there's, I think it's about 1% of people actually end up reporting. And then as you go through the stages of court, people just keep dropping out because unfortunately our criminal justice system is so not designed as a victim-centric system. And, you know, that's the legacy. It's no one's fault in particular. But I'm really excited about what Ciara is building, what the board is doing to, you know, bring information and kind of bring traction to this issue because it does affect so many.
So for people potentially, Ciara, that are going to go through the court system, you know, like yourself and like Sarah, and I suppose unfortunately, you know, have that experience, how will their journey improve, I suppose, if you want to describe it as that? Say off the back of a service like this.
Just literally connecting with others who have gone through the same similar situation. Obviously, every experience of sexual violence and navigating the criminal justice system is completely unique to each and every individual survivor. But just to have that connection with other survivors who can resonate with what you're going through. So we have peer-led support groups that we're running across three cities in Ireland now. We're in Cork, we're in Galway, and we're in Dublin. Mm. So they're monthly support groups for survivors to come together and to meet one another and to just have a sense of community. That's something that I never, ever had. I navigated 10 years after my assault, never having met any survivor. And also went through the whole criminal justice system, just feeling completely like blindfolded. And my whole trust was just placed into the system. I had no benchmark, no one to kind of ask, you know, is this normal? Did you have this experience? I just completely trusted that everything that I was experiencing while navigating that system was true and fair and the way it was supposed to be.
So the counselling notes and the use of counselling notes in cases is something that, you know, we've talked about many times here in the show. And Paula Doyle, who's also a survivor, was only with us here actually in the programme about 6 weeks ago, sharing her experience and why she is one of many people who too are calling for change. You might just remind people, Ciara, how those notes are used.
So the current practice has been described as unacceptable. survivors are essentially choosing whether to pursue justice or whether to continue with their counselling. In my own personal capacity, what I chose was to pursue justice, and I chose to then stop my counselling at a time that I really, really need it. So survivors are really being put in a impossible situation to make such a decision. And essentially, we deserve to pursue both. There shouldn't be that choice that survivors have to make. But the way the current system is set up, that it's been recognised that it's not working. And that's what the Minister for Justice has said, you know, that's what we're trying to change here.
Like the idea that somebody who has gone through, Sarah, something like you and Kira have experienced, you know, and the heinous and the horrendous nature of that, and then naturally you go to get support and counselling services, and then to think that those incredibly intimate, private discussions that you have with your support counsellor could be brought up and used in court, and you never knowing that's going to be the case. I mean, it must leave people in a terribly vulnerable situation.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's one thing that kind of shocked us the most in the survey. So we launched a survey to gather data on this because Kira has her experience, I have mine.
Yeah.
We recognise that, you know, our experiences don't reflect the lived experiences of other survivors. And I think we sort of knew what we were expecting to get back in terms of the data, but we were on the floor when we realised actually how many people did not know their records would be taken. 75% did not know that their records would be used, could be used against them by the defence.
Because one of the points, and I mentioned that at the outset, you know, that survivors don't recall giving informed consent.
Yeah.
Sure, would never cross your mind that this is going to happen.
No, you're in a complete blur. That's what I mean when you put your whole trust and faith into the authorities to give you all of the information at a timely and accessible manner. And that's simply not the case with the data that we're getting through this survey.
Maybe tell listeners a little bit about what you found from the research that you've carried out at Beyond Surviving.
Yeah, maybe we'll start by saying the survey is still open. So we really want to make sure we're hearing from everyone's voice. The purpose of the survey is, you know, we want to hear from advocates who are out there, but also maybe almost more importantly, those who haven't spoken, either because they're not willing to or because they can't, for whatever reason. We are combing through every single stat, but the stats were actually really impressive. So we've had over 265 responses, of which 200 said that they were survivors.
And this is just in 24
in a
hours.
A couple of days, a little bit more than 24 hours, but it's only been open since, was it Friday that we opened it?
Yeah.
And so of those, over 80% said they have gone to therapy or counselling about their experience of sexual violence. And 87% of those said counselling was foundational to their healing. And I think that's almost, you know, the first step we need, and any legal reform that's coming here needs to recognise that. And we've been talking, as you say, about this issue for so long. We now know that an outright ban on the use of counselling records in trial is not constitutionally possible. We know that. It is disappointing. That said, what also came up in the data is actually there's a really large percentage of survivors that wanted their notes to be used.
Why is that?
Because the notes backed up what they were saying. So they, you know, in my case, for example, my notes were like requested. The defense ended up not using them. My case was so strong, we didn't need to kind of use my notes as backup, but they certainly didn't harm my case to show the trauma that I was going through. And for a lot of survivors where credibility is an issue, the notes are actually invaluable evidence to back up what they're saying. So we do need to recognize that when we're drafting the law, and like the whole purpose of the survey is to make sure that the reforms are informed by context. You cannot draft law in a vacuum. It will be a disaster. As we've seen from the previous to this, or the predecessor to this bill, which is not working. It was intended to work well, but it is not working.
What else did you find, Kira?
We found that disclosure is coming predominantly, so information about disclosure is coming, unfortunately, in most cases, after survivors have already engaged in their counselling. But the main informers are 43% said they were informed by their therapist or counsellor, 20% are being informed by frontline organisations, and then the other 20% is from media or hearing another survivor's experience. So that's where they're being informed. And then the data is also showing us that the key authorities that are asking for consent, it's quite interesting because the data has shown that 50% said that they don't remember or didn't give consent.
Yeah.
But that authority that's asking for that consent is really early on in the reporting process and from An Garda Síochána.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
What do you hope to do with the information that you find? Like, what is the plan, I suppose, through the charity and beyond surviving when that, you know, I mean, obviously I know, as you said at the outset, Sarah, this survey is still open and people listening today, actually, where can they participate if they're at a laptop this lunchtime?
They can go onto our website or onto our social media and find the link there.
It's Beyond Surviving.
Yeah, beyondsurviving.ie. Yeah. So what we're hoping to do then with the results of the survey, so we'll be launching our report of all the findings that we've gathered through the survey, and then we will be calling on the government to, in any reform, to reflect the reality of the lived experience of survivors.
Mm-hmm. And I might just add there, we you know, you've been working closely and talking with the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. They have been doing work on this in the background for years, if not decades. And I think they have come to a position where they've done so much legal research on it. They're presenting really practical options. And I know it is a disappointment for some because it's not going to be able to be an outright ban. We do know that. However, there's still a really important opportunity to change the law in a meaningful way for future survivors. And that's what this whole survey is about. It's not about me. It's not about Keir. It's not about one survivor. We're just trying to get the full spectrum of the diversity of the lived experiences of survivors and to make sure that whatever law is drafted with those people at the forefront of the law, you know, the legislators' minds.
Is it 3 years ago since your attacker was sentenced? Must be the guts of 3 years ago, was
July
it?
July 23, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking that it was coming up on...
Yeah, but last April, it was kind of the nail in the coffin then, finally, because of the appeal.
Okay.
He was rejected his appeal last April.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot has happened since then.
A lot has happened, yeah. Is there a sense of... I don't know if pride's the right word, but for you, you know, since you were with us here at the time and obviously you spoke about that sentencing day, and I remember it well, you joined us in the programme to speak about the impact it had. But like, looking at the work that you've done now, Ciara, and setting up the charity and, you know, and seeing the responses that you're getting from people, like, has that helped you in the healing?
Tremendously.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I just responded to a really intense gap that I noticed once I disengaged from the frontline crisis centre services, where I literally just said, okay, what's the next step for me? This is a lifelong process. I'm going to be healing and recovering for the rest of my life, yet support has completely ended for me. This cannot be true. So I just went around and I looked for, like, what is that next step for the continuity of support? And there was nothing there.
It was a gap.
There was a huge gap. So this was just born from my own lived experience. And it just so happens to resonate with so many survivors across Ireland. Like last year, in our first year in operating, we worked with 172 individual survivors. And the most, I suppose, interesting insight is the age cohort of those survivors. So they're predominantly women 55 and above.
Right.
Yeah. Which makes sense. Sexual violence is most commonly perpetrated against younger women. Of course, not in every instance.
Yeah.
But those women, particularly directly after an attack, will probably engage in the crisis sector services. We're not a crisis sector service at all. So once they disengage from the crisis sector services, they will then go on in their later years, perhaps after having, you know, prioritized motherhood, and then all their kids have moved out and they've somehow got to this stage where they realize their trauma is still there, and now they're coming to Beyond Surviving.
And that's where...
That's what we're noticing.
That's where you're kind of meeting people. And I know, Sarah, for you, and you know, when you've a sort of maybe an unusual situation in this, in that in your kind of your day job, beyond obviously being a fellow survivor as well, you know, you're a solicitor by trade. And so you kind of, you see both sides of this, you know?
I do see both sides of it. And I think what really kind of fueled me to, you know, go on my own journey after my trial was, when I went through the trial, I was shocked by how little I knew, how little I understood, how little I was kept in the loop about things. Like Kira used that word blindfolded. You really go in like absolutely blindsided. And I remember thinking, I'm a lawyer. Like, if I don't get this, how the hell is someone, you know, who's not got that qualification supposed to keep up with this? And the other thing is, I had my family there with me. And, you know, we also know that one in two people who go through this process don't tell another soul. So again, that's really fueled me. I think the work that Kira has done, I'm so proud to have joined Beyond Surviving. I think they're doing formidable work. I think it's amazing that, you know, they're complementary to those frontline associations that are there for the crisis incident. They're overflowed as well. Like, there's so, like, this affects so many people. And I think we're finally getting to a point where we're starting to open up this topic and realizing survivors of sexual assault are not that, you know, stereotypical woman with the black veil over her sitting next to a window with like rain outside in the fetal position, preferably. They're really normal people that have normal lives. They're mothers, they're, you know, sisters, they're people, they might be your colleagues.
And they're all around us, from the stats you've pointed out today.
They're really all around us. Yeah. And so the work that we're doing is to make the system better for them, ultimately.
Have you had an opportunity, or will you get an opportunity, to meet with the Justice Minister or Justice Department to present any of these stats?
We've met with him before.
We have met with him.
For a very constructive meeting.
Yeah, there's kind of an open channel of communication there.
Okay,
I know that he's planning to move on this bill pretty quickly. So I'm not sure if we'll have a formal opportunity to have a meeting. That said, we do have like those open channels of communication with his team. So we will be passing on our results. And ultimately, I think where we stand is, we very much back the position of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre and the solutions that they are putting forward. They have a much closer line to the minister, and I think it makes sense to not, you know, duplicate work streams, but back the one that is the most reasonable and has, you know, the absolute and best effective interests of survivors.
Protective, fair.
Absolutely.
Just finally, Kira, people listening today, if they want to get in touch by way of the support services that are offered or the survey, it's all at the website beyondsurviving.ie,
yes. And all of our social medias are beyondsurviving.ie as well.
Kira Mangan, Sarah Grace, thanks a million to you both for joining us in the programme today. Email, as always, is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com, or you can get us on 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on Newstalk. Conversation that counts.